Last Shabbos was Shabbos HaGadol, so everyone's all drushed out by now. And the Rishonim, they discuss why did it get the name Shabbos HaGadol. And some Rishonim write, the reason why I got it called Shabbos HaGadol, because it was a very long Shabbos. By the time the rabbi was done with his drush and davening was over, it was a long Shabbos. That's how it got the name Shabbos HaGadol. And the Achrenim talk about why exactly is it relevant for the Shulchan Aruch to write that the Shabbos before Pesach is called Shabbos HaGadol. There's no practical ramifications for that. What's irrelevant? Called Shabbos HaGadol, called Shabbos before Pesach, call it special Shabbos, call it whatever you want. Where's the halachic ramifications for it? But in Shulchan Aruch, it's interesting. Similar Shulchan Aruch writes that the Shabbos before Pesach is called Shabbos HaGadol. And everyone asks the Kasha, the Taz, the Magen Avraham, they ask the Kasha, what does that have to do with Shabbos? It's not to do with Shabbos. It happened on Yud Nisan. It should be called Yud Nisan HaGadol. The whole story of Shabbos HaGadol, where they took the sheep and the Mitzvim, didn't fight them. The whole story had nothing to do with Shabbos. It had to do with it was on the 10th day of Nisan. It happened to have been that the 10th day of Nisan that year fell out on Shabbos. But why do we connect it to Shabbos? So the Taz gives a teretz because Yud Nisan was also a special day later in history. That's going to be the day where the Yarden is going to split. So in order not to take away from the other day, we decided to give it two separate Yom Tovim. Rav Moshe Feinstein asked, if that's the case, even more so. Two parties on one day. Why don't we have two reasons to celebrate? So Rav Moshe Feinstein explained that the pshat is that there's a special connection between Shabbos and Pesach. Shabbos is the realization that Hashem created the world. That's one level of Emunah. There's another level, that you believe Hashem created the world, and you also believe Hashem actually runs the world. There are people who believe Hashem created the world. Then after that, he retired. He did his thing. He's on vacation. And other people around the world, nature, whatever else you want to call it. So Yitzhak Mitzrayim taught the Jewish people that not only did Hashem create the world, he's daily involved in the running of the world. And that's really the lesson of Zeichel Yitzhak Mitzrayim, is to remember the idea that Hashem runs the world. And that really answers the kasha we spoke about last week. What's the difference between Zeichel Yitzhak Mitzrayim and Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim? Zeichel Yitzhak Mitzrayim means you have to remember Hashem runs the world every single day. He's involved in all that happens. That's Zeichel Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim is a different story. Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim is to tell the story. What happened on Pesach and where we went and how we went. That you got to get into good details. Like the Rambam was mashma that we saw last week. You have to be misaper. But the Zeichel Yitzhak Mitzrayim that we do every day in Kriya Shema, that's just to remind us that Hashem is involved in the daily running of the world. Yaakov Emden has a cute piece where he writes that the reason why it's on Shabbos is because that's when the Mitzrayim realized something was up. Why? Because what happens? The Jewish people in Mitzrayim kept Shabbos. Also now they're taking animals, they're schlepping animals, animals on muktzah. They're tying them to the bedpost, they're making knots. Jewish people don't make knots on Shabbos. So what tipped the Mitzrayim off that something was strange was because it was Shabbos. And that's how the Mitzrayim knew something was weird. And that's why the story came out, the miracle of a Shabbos HaGadol. Someone told me on Shabbos, it's worth mentioning, a word from Vishem Rabbi Belsky, who heard it from Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Shabbos HaGadol drasha one year in the Lower East Side. Rav Moshe pointed out in the Haftarah that we read, there's a very interesting conversation between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, Chiz chosku alai devreichem, Amar Hashem. The words that you said about me is very rough. Hashem was tiny to Bnei Yisrael. You said not nice things about me. And Bnei Yisrael's response of, Amar teman debarnu alecha. What did we say? Right away, I'm innocent. I don't know, but what did I do? I'm innocent. I didn't do anything, says Bnei Yisrael. So Hashem tells him, Amartim shav avoid alikim, umabetza. He goes, hold on, basically, you said, what's worth it being a Jew? So that's a very strong thing to say. And then you're going to say, I didn't say anything. And I'm like, what do you mean? You said something. That's a very mean thing to say to a God, that you're going to say to him, what's worth serving you? So Rav Moshe explained that this pasuk is not talking about who we think those people that are not religious, who don't care about the religion. Rav Moshe says, this pasuk is talking about the frumest guy in the world. Keeps every chumrah, every briska chumrah, every shita under the sun. From his guy you'll even meet. So what's he saying? He does all the chumras, but it's meaningless to him. He thinks it's all crazy. There's no soul in it. No nisham involved. Again, Rav Moshe wasn't a chassidish rebbe. Now he says, Rav Moshe, the guy does every chumrah under the sun. He does every hiddur you can think of. But it means nothing to him. He says to himself, ma betza, ma shav, what's this worth for me? This is nothing. I'm doing it because I have to. If society demands it of me, my parents demand it of me, maybe even Lishma a little bit, I think Shulchan Aruch demands it of me, but there's no soul involved. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not what we want. I don't want a person to serve me because he has to. I want a person to serve because he loves to. That's what Hashem was telling the Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael thought, we're innocent. I'm doing everything Hashem wants. What does he want from me? That's Hashem says, I don't want your physical actions. I want your soul. I want you to want to do what you're doing. They took a poll in Eretz Yisrael and they asked little kids, which Yom Tov do you like better? Pesach or Sukkos? So you think, well, in Eretz Yisrael, which Yom Tov is better? Sukkos, no brainer. Sukkos is much better. Simchas Beis Shoeva, you get to stay up late and there's a party. So they asked the kids why. And the kids said, you know what? Because Pesach, everyone's stressed out. My father stressed out about the matzahs and probably the money. My mother stressed out about the clay. Everyone's stressed out on Pesach. I don't enjoy Pesach. Everyone's stressed out. Sukkah is everyone's happy. Once you build a sukkah, you're done. What else is there to do? The sukkah is built. Everyone's calm. So that's what Moshe Feinstein was saying over here. That many times we get caught up. That's before Pesach. We get caught up with the idea of we have to do so many things, and it starts to become a pain already, and we lose the geschmack of it. I joke, that's why in the Chol Hamoed Pesach Leining, we read Pesach Sheni. Very strange. Why we read Pesach Sheni on Chol Hamoed? So Pashup Shah is because we ran out of things to read. We got to find something. So we find Pesach Sheni. I think the Pesach is because when you get to Chol Hamoed, like the third or fourth day, we're all sick of matzah. We're done. We're ready for chametz. So we read Pesach Sheni because look at these Jews. They were potter from Pesach. And they didn't have to make a Pesach. They had the best excuse in the world. The Gemara says they had the best excuse. They were taking care of Meis Mitzvah. And they were potter on the highest level. But they went to Hashem and said, no, we don't want to be exempt. We want to be in the Mitzvah. We want to be the rest of Klai Yisrael. So that's why we read it on the third or fourth day when we're done. We had enough. We're ready to sign out. We read Pesach Sheni to remind ourselves, no. Listen, there were Jews that wanted to be Mechayev and Pesach. And we are Mechayev and Pesach. We should try to enjoy it. It's definitely not an easy thing, but that's what Moshe Feinstein explained that the Haftarah is telling us right before we start the very busy week. This week, for sure, is definitely a hectic week where people are doing a lot of funny things. And the list of chumras go on and on every year of new things people do. I don't know. People, someone told me they take all their baby toys and they rinse it down with ammonia and they spray stuff on it. I don't know. Either the kids are eating the toys or the kids don't. I don't know. I don't understand it. People are mopping the walls. I don't understand it. Unless you're licking the walls after dessert on the Pesach, I don't understand it. But okay, Klal Yisrael is beautiful in that regard. But we have to keep in mind that if we're going to stress ourselves out, it's not going to do any good for anyone on any level. And then we lose what Moshe Feinstein is describing over here is the feeling, the neshama of what we're trying to do. Okay, today's share is Lila Nishmas, Echsa, Bas Rav Meir, whose yahrzeit is today. Okay, today's share and all the learning that we do here every week should be as chus for her Aliyas Neshama. Today's share we're going to discuss something that for many people takes about 2 minutes on the entire Pesach experience. We're going to be discussing Sreifas Chametz. It doesn't even make it to Leil Pesach. At least if something makes it to the Seder, it gets discussion at the night of the Seder. This is over before Pesach even begins. Yeah, we're going to see that this little procedure that we all do seems to be much more complex in the Olam Halom as to how exactly this is working. Begin with the pasuk in the Torah in Sefer Shmos Yud Beis Tezor. The Torah tells us, "Ach b'yem harishon tashbisu sa'ar mibateichem." The Torah says, "However, on the first day, you should get rid of the sa'ar mibateichem." Why? Ki kala oichel chametz. Anyone that will eat chametz v'nichrusah hanefesh ahim Yisrael, he will get karis. Okay, very one word. This whole shiur is about one word. You'll see one word is so lumdish and so complex. It's amazing. One word. Tashbisu. The Torah says, get rid of your chametz. Tashbisu. I remember when I first got married, I got married in December. So I was one of those geniuses who decided I was going to stock up on pastas and all these things to have in my house. So it comes Pesach, I realized I got like 60 boxes of noodles in my house. So I know there's a whole shaila. Do you sell chametz gamba? Don't you sell chametz gamba? I'm all dealing about it. Years later, I ended up giving shurim on it where I think it's okay to sell chametz gamba. But at that time, I wasn't so sure. So I went to my rebbe and asked him, what should I do with all those noodles I have? He says, what do you mean? It says in the Torah, tashbisu sa'armi batechem. That's not what I wanted to hear. It was a lot of money that was going to go down the drain. But the Torah says, tashbisu sa'armi batechem, get rid of the chametz. Does the Torah say how to get rid of the chametz? No, the Torah says get rid of it. How you do it seems to be up to you. It's also interesting from the pasuk. It sounds like, why do you have to be get rid of the chametz? Ki kol eichel chametz v'nichrusa. It sounds like it's to ensure you don't overcoming to eat it. The reason why you have to rid your house of chametz is because ki kol eichel chametz. Because if you're going to eat the chametz, you're going to get karis. So just doing bittul, like the Rishonim talk about, just being mevatel is not sufficient. You'll be mevatel all you want, and then you'll see it and you'll eat it. So it sounds like from the pesukim that the chashash over here is what we're concerned about is you may come to eat it. So the only way to ensure you won't eat it is if it's not in the house. If it's not in the house, you can't eat it. But the Gemara in Pesachim Chaf Aleph has an interesting machloikis tanoim. The Mishnah starts out like this. Talk to Mishnah number 2. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein bir chametz ela sreifa. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says even though the Torah wasn't clear on how you go about being mekayim tashbisu, says Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be only through fire. Ein bir chametz ela sreifa. The only way to be mekayim the mitzvah is through burning it. We'll have to see exactly why. V'chacham b'mayim nacham disagree. They say af. This word af is tricky. It's a big machloikis rishayim if we gairus this word af. Even mefarer v'zayri l'ruach. You can even crumple it up, throw it into the wind, or imatal yam, throw it into the ocean. That's if you read it even. What does it mean if you read it even? It means, of course, you can burn it. That's for sure you're allowed to burn it. But let's say you don't want to burn it. You don't like fire, so then you can even get rid of it through a different mechanism. If you don't read the word af, so the chamayim mefarer v'zayri l'ruach means that that's the only way to get rid of chametz. You can't burn chametz. Well, obviously, have to see what's wrong with burning chametz. Why is that a bad way of getting rid of the chametz? So, Blue Nedda, we'll see later that it's a big machloekis rishonim to what the proper way of getting rid of the chametz is. Okay, so we have a machlokes tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chacham, how exactly one is supposed to get rid of his chametz. Now, we haven't yet talked about when exactly are you getting rid of your chametz. That's something we need to discuss at length. We're talking, it says B'yayim HaRishon. B'yayim HaRishon doesn't mean on the first day of Pesach. It's too late on the first day of Pesach. So the Gemara makes it. Rashi, Rashi brings in the Chumash. B'yayim HaRishon means Erev Pesach. But there's a lot of time on Erev Pesach. A lot of different hours in Erev Pesach. There's also a question of what happens if you find chametz on Pesach. So we're going to try to keep in mind how exactly or in what scenarios the mitzvah of Tashbis are going to be relevant. So the Gemara in Pesachim has a very long discussion. It's about an amid, half an amid long. And we can manage to give at least two shurim just on the shak of a tie of the Gemara, forgetting anything. Just the back and forth of the Gemara and all the lumnesses. We'll touch upon a little bit of it. We don't have enough time for all of it. The Gemara starts off like this, number three. Zag Gemara in Pesachim Chavzayin. Amar Rebbe Yehuda ein bir chametz el sreifa. Rebbe Yehuda's opinion was the only way to get rid of chametz is through sreifa. The Gemara wants to know why. Where does it say in the Torah through fire? It says Tashbisu, get rid of it. However you want to get rid of it, what's the difference? So the Gemara says like this, Vahadin Noisin. And it makes sense, which you'll see from the Gemara is merely a fancy way of saying it's a Kavah Chaymer. What's the Kavah Chaymer? Uman Noisin She'en B'Bat Yiro B'Bat Yimotzei. If the one place in the Torah is very clear on how to get rid of things, is by Noisin. A person leaves over a carbon, the Torah tells you, you got to burn it on fire. So the Torah tells you how to get rid of something that has what we'll call a chalois shame isser to it. The Torah is very clear. When something gets an isser, the way to get rid of it is through burning it. So the Gemara says like this. If you know that the Torah is very careful, how do you get rid of noiser? And by noiser, you're not by your roll, by your matzeh. If the noiser sits in your house for 2 weeks until you get around to it, you're not even a yisurim, and still the Torah wants you to get rid of it with fire. Chometz sheesh no by your roll, by your matzeh. Chometz where there is a prohibition of by your roll, by your matzeh. So you're running into issues of even if you won't burn the chometz, you'll let the chometz sit in your house. That's also an isser. Loi kol shekein shetan sreifa. Shouldn't you definitely need sreifa? So again, it's a very, very interesting kavah chomer, so to say, that the Gemara makes, that because Ba'yiro is a chumra, so Ba'yiro should dictate that you should have to get rid of, you should have to burn it through Sreifa, learning it from Noisa. So the Gemara says that can't be. Amuloi, the chom tainet to him, called din sha'at adon, tchilase lahachma v'sreifa lahaka. This is very nice, you want to make a kavah chomer, and you're going to be machmer to require Sreifa, but your chumra is going to end up backfiring and create a kula. Why? What happens if Loi Matze ate some Lasarfoi? What happens if the guy comes on Erev Pesach and he has no wood? And he knows you can only burn it with wood. So the rabbi said, that's got to be fire. So what does he do? This guy's a real genius. Loi Matze ate some Lasarfoi, you issue a bottle. So he does nothing. So I says, I can't be Mekayim the Ratzon HaTaira. If I can't be Mekayim the Ratzon HaTaira, so I just sit there. V'HaTaira Omer, and the Taira says, Tashbisa Sa'ami Batechem, B'choldo V'Shati Yachal HaShbisa. So the Gemara Taina, the Chacham Taina and Rabbi Yehuda, you can't be so from. If you're going to do your way and say you need to have fire because of a kavah chomer, what's going to happen? A guy's going to say, I need to have fire. So I don't have fire. I'm just not going to burn my chometz. I'm going to just sit there and not burn chometz. And it's going to be mevatel. The way the Gemara says it, it's not going to, the Gemara doesn't say he's going to be over by your matzah, which is what we would have said. Right? The Gemara, we should have said, what's going to happen if he doesn't burn it? Not that he's going to be mevatel tashbisu. He's going to be over a lava by your matzah. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, instead what's going to happen is he'll be mevatel tashbisu sami batech. That's the Chachamim's big taina on Rebbe Yehuda. So Rebbe Yehuda ends up changing his tune, and he ends up going back and saying, you're right, it's not a kavah chomer, it's really a memetzino. It's a fancy memetzino. Basically, we're learning it from Noiser with some extra knaches over here. And the Gemara ends up saying it's like this. We're really learning it from Noiser, and we're saying this. Noiser has an Isser of Loiser Siru. You're not allowed to leave over Noiser. Chomer has an Isser of Balsai Siru. Where's an Isser of Bals? Where does it say not allowed to leave over chomer? Rashi learns, you're not allowed to leave over means Ba'yiro Ba'yimotze. So the Gemara, man, no, you said b'sreif, I've chametz b'sreif. So the Gemara has a kasha back on Yehuda. This is important. The Gemara says, "Amulei ashem tolei v'chatas oif habal asafik with v'rechi yechichu." We ask a kasha on you, Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa. It's not true. Shehem b'bal sasiru. There are certain karbanas, like example, an ashem tolei v'chatas oif habal asafik. Let's say the lady's not sure what she miscarried, whatever it was. Then she brings a carbon b'safik. That carbon, the halacha is that there is an issur of lois sasiru on it. And that we would say should get burnt based on your logic. And you yourself say that animal gets buried. So obviously you're wrong. So Shasak Yehuda was quiet. Shasak Yehuda. Now we would have said, but if the Gemara tells us that Yehuda was stumped, that means Yehuda is out of the picture. If Yehuda was slugged up by the Chachamim l'shitasai based on what he holds, the Gabi Mishnah in Tamura Krisus, so we would have thought Yehuda is out of the game. We'll see that the Mishnah say no, you got to cash in Yehuda, but Yehuda is still not slugged up. Okay. So let's try to talk a little bit about some of the svaras over here that the Gemara mentioned. The havamina of the Gemara was that the chomim tainet Rebbe Yehuda, if you're so machmir burning it ayde esh, what's going to happen when a guy doesn't have esh? That's the kash that the chomim had to Rebbe Yehuda. So there's a very famous sheet that's Ramban in Parshas Boy. The Ramban in Parshas Boy holds you're not over by your all by your matzeh. You have no assay of tashbisu if the chomim is not in your rishos. You own it. You own it 100%. It's yours. But it's not in your rishos. It's in someone else's rishos. Chometza, you give it to a guy. You mafkit chometza lenochu. So the halacha over here is the Ramban in Chumash writes that there's no iser ba'yirah ba'yimotza, and the chometza is not in your possession, even though it belongs to you. It's yours 100%. Or there's no iser of, there's no chiv of tashbisu. For this reason, there are achrenim who make the case that when you want to burn chometz, you shouldn't go burn it outside. Well, that's going to happen. You're going to take your chometz and bring it to the fire department to burn. So where's the chometz by the time it's out of your rishus? The chometz is out of your rishus. There's no mitzvah tashbisu anymore. So you're not even going to be mekayim tashbisu. Because according to Ramban, once you take it out of your rishus, it's over. So there are those people that discuss. Rashi Shtemach has a tshuva, tshuva on August, where he discusses this idea of whether or not we should be cheshish for this Ramban, that there's no din tashbisu once it's out of your house.
So yeah. If you can't burn, so
that's what we're going to see. We're going to see that there's more eitzes of it. It seems like the chomer bothered, right? If you're going to come with, so why don't you have the same kasha after the fact? At the end of the Gemara, it's not a kavachem, it's a memetinu. Why don't you ask the same kasha? The Torah says the Gemara's only kasha was when you're playing the world of kula and chumros, you can't set up a chumra that's going to end up being a kula later on. That's what you're going to have to say. Because at the end of the Gemara doesn't still ask this kasha on the Behuda. Why don't we? How can you learn? Again, at the end of the day, Behuda is learning from Noiser. Call it a kavachem, call it a memetinu, call it whatever you want. Why don't we ask this kasha if you're going to deck from Noiser? Torah says that the Gemara wasn't concerned about. We'll see the Pnei Yeshua talks a little more about it. You're going to have to say it's only a kasha when you're playing kavachemers and you tell me you think it needs sreifa because of a chumra, then the Gemara is a kasha. No, this is going to backfire. So then don't require it.
And then also, you can learn a different kavachem and then just by Noiser.
Yeah.
Right, where there's no bayim rasa, so there's one method of getting rid of it.
Right.
But by chometz, when you have the lav of bayim rasa, right? Maybe it should be more. It should be more.
Be more open.
Not less.
Right. To allow you to do more things. Right. So you're not over the issa. So that's what we're really going to have to see is the purpose of tashbisa. So you're not over bayim rasa. Tashbisa is for a different reason. That's what. No, the pasuk has to call oichel chametz, not for value, you're off for eating it.
Well, that's a question. What's bayirah? Right?
Yeah, okay. We're going to try to get to all that today. Try is the operative word.
So the question of chacham have on Rabbi Yehuda is like a milsut l'shchicha.
So right, so the Achrayim talk about, Pnei Yeshua talks about these things like, you know, come on, what are you worried about? So we're going to try to get to that.
Thing,
right, you know. So Frekta, so the Shagasaya, Rabbi Chana, they all talk about one second. What happened to the Ramban? If you hold like the Ramban Chumash, what's the Gemara's kash over here? What's going to happen? The guy comes out of Pesach, he's got no fire, no way to make a fire. He's going to say, oh, Taka, I'm stuck. What do you mean, what's the big deal? Take the chametz, throw it outside your window, throw it into the Rishas and Rabban. You're done. What are you worried about? What are you so nervous about? What are you? According to the Ramban, there's no Ba'yiro, Ba'yimotze. And if you throw it outside the Rishas and Rabban, so everyone can do that. You take the chametz and you throw it out your window. It's in the Rishas and Rabban. You don't have to worry. That's the kasha that people ask. Why is it such a big problem? So Rabbi Chanan learns something very interesting. Rabbi Chanan learns that in such a case, when you throw the chametz, let's say, into the street, you're right, you're not over Ba'yiro, Ba'yimotze. But you also were not Mekayim Tashbisu. You weren't Mekayim Tashbisu. You just were not Mekayim in Tashbisu. You weren't Mekayim Tashbisu. If a guy takes his chametz according to a man and throws it in the middle of the street, he wasn't Mekayim Tashbisu. He circumvented the Aseh of Tashbisu. He just created a situation where he doesn't have a mitzvah. Like someone who maybe doesn't have chametz. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. If someone doesn't have chametz, is he really Mekayim Tashbisu? If Shad is he doesn't have Tashbisu. You know, if a person doesn't have a firstborn boy, it's not to try to use Mekayim Pidyon HaBen. If Shad is he doesn't have a chiv of Pidyon HaBen because he doesn't have a firstborn boy. So it says Rabbi Chanan here also, if you're going to take the chametz and throw it out into the Shas HaRabim, you're not Mekayim Tashbisu. You're just not Mechoyim Tashbisu. And it's Medoik from the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Va'atayra Amra Tashbisu. Meaning you're not being Mekayim what the Torah wants. It's not going to be a taina on you. It's not going to be a tvi on you. Of course it's not a tvi on you. You're not Mechoyev. But you're still not going to be Mekayim the mitzvah saseh ha-Torah. It won't be a bittel saseh, but it won't be a kim saseh, says Rabbi Chanan. You won't be getting credit for what you're supposed to be doing. So therefore, that was the Chacham's taina. The Chacham was saying, I know you won't really be over by your rabbi your matzah, because you can always throw it into the Mishas Rabbim. But by throwing it into the Mishas Rabbim, you'll be losing out on a mitzvah saseh of tashbis. That's how Rabbi Chanan learns the kash.
Why isn't the action of the Zrika into the Rishas Rabbim?
Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not how the Torah wants you to be Mekayimit. But the Torah also said, if you're in a certain situation, you don't have to be Mekayimit. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's really two things going on over here. There's how to be Mekayim the Torah, and there's when do you need to be Mekayim the Torah. According to the Ramban, you don't need to be Mekayim anything in the Torah when it's already in the Rishas Rabbim. When it's in your house, then you have to burn it specifically through fire. The Shagasari asks the Kasha differently. The Shagasari asks that, the Chum saying that according to Behuda, what's going to happen? It comes out Pesach. I have nothing to buy my Chumetz, so I'll just sit there and keep the Chumetz right next to the Seder and have it there a whole Pesach. In fact, the Shagasari, forget the mitzvah saseh of Tashbisu. You have to get rid of the Chumetz because it'll laugh about you, Rabbi Yamatze. Right, the Shagasai understand which person is going to sit Erev Pesach with a pile of chametz and just sit there and say, oh, you know what, I can't be Mekayim Tashbisu the right way because I don't have any fire. You know what? So this year I'm just going to have chametz. You know, I'm going to do like they do on Pesach Shein. I'm going to have chametz and matzah. What do you mean? You have to get rid of the chametz because of Ba'yirah, Ba'yamatzah. It's a lav in the Torah. So why would a person think they can sit here and not do it and not get rid of it? So the Shag Yesaya says it's very dependent on a big machlokes rishonim. When does the Isser Bal Yirel Bal Yemotzei start? Does Isser Bal Yirel Bal Yemotzei start already on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, 6th, 7th hour? Or does Bal Yirel Bal Yemotzei only start Lil Pesach? When we usher in Pesach, that's when Bal Yirel Bal Yemotzei starts. A very, very big machlokes rishonim. So Taina the Shag Yesaya, it depends on this Nakuda. The person who's sitting here at Pesach, and the whole Erev Pesach, he's sitting here, you're going to ask him, hello, why are you not getting your chametz? He says, why should I? I can't be mekayim the ratzon ha'tayyeh, so I'm going to do nothing. I buy your rabbi matzah. I got time for buy your rabbi matzah. Another 5 hours for buy your rabbi matzah. But if the whole buy your rabbi matzah starts right away, then he has to get rid of the chametz, not to be mekayim the asev tashbisu, but to ensure he's not mevatel over a lava buy your rabbi matzah. Rebbe Povarsky in his Shurim Amsachim takes very big issue with the whole comparison from Neisser. He says, I don't understand the comparison from Neisser to Pesach. He says, why do you have to get rid of a carbon? The din is sreifas on a carbon, the pshat is it's a chelik of the avoidas ha-carbon. It's part of what you do with a carbon. The same way you have an animal, so the kain shechs it, some of it he eats, some of it the owner eats. There's rules to a carbon. It's part of the kain's job working in the Beis HaMikdash. Says Rebbe Povarsky, it's the same thing with Neisser. Noiser is a chelik of the avoidas ha-behema in the work, in the Beis HaMikdash. He says, I'll bring you a riot. Where do you burn noiser? You can't burn noiser any way you want. You can't just make a fire in your backyard. You got to do it in the Azara. These are all considered chelke ha-avoid of the Beis HaMikdash. He says, I'll bring you another riot, the Melchus Chinuch riot. Who's the only person that can burn noiser? The Kohen. So the Mishnah Melech says, why the Kohen? Who needs the Kohen? The answer is because this is not stam, I have something left over in my house, I have to get rid of it in order so I don't come to eat it. There's a din in Avodas, the way we serve Hashem, and we have karbonos, and part of karbonos are how to deal with it when it's kosher, and how to deal with it once it becomes possible. So the Sreifas HaNoiser, says Rebbe, has nothing to do with we want to get rid of it because we may come to eat it. We all think that the Aseh of Tashbisu, or even my Noiser, why do we burn these things? Because the simplest way of getting rid of something that's dangerous, spiritually speaking, is to get rid of it. If it's not around, you don't have a problem. So, you see, the Torah does that by Noiser. So, Taina, it's not true. By Noiser, that's not what the Torah said. The Torah didn't say, I don't want you eating Noiser, and therefore you have to burn it. The Torah said, this is a way of dealing with Kachim, and part of the rules of Kachim are that the Kohen has to burn it, and the Kohen has to shecht it, and the Kohen's metapa with it here also. So, Bechlal, there's no comparison to Chametz to Noiser. He says he doesn't understand the comparison. He says, Lefizeh, that's Pshat and the Rabbanan. Why don't the Rabbanan also learn from Noiser? But the Rabbanan didn't know there was a parsha in the Torah called Noiser. Only Rabbi Yehuda thought of this comparison. So there's a Taisus in Tzachim that says a couple of words that the Rabbanan felt that's not a good comparison. Why not? Says Rebbe, I'll tell you why. Because it's apples and oranges. Noiser is a din in Avodas HaKarban. That's something that the chelik of the avoid of a carbon. The same way the kain shechs it and the kain eats it, the kain burns it. That's part of the kain's job. But sreifas hachametz, that's nothing to do with the carbon. That's nothing to do with the avoid, that's to do with me. I have to rid my house of this stuff because I may come to eat it. So then how I go about doing it, there's no reason why the Torah should care. Bishlama by kachim, I hear the Torah cares because it's Hashem's. Hashem is very particular how you do certain things. But this is just to get rid of this. This would be the same thing if a person had a poison in his house. With the Torah care how he gets rid of poison? He would throw out the poison, flush it down the toilet. You know, I wouldn't suggest giving it away to anyone, but getting rid of it.
Clean the toys for the kids.
Right, you can use it, you know. The Torah wouldn't care how you get rid of these things. So therefore, he tied that's a chayra, a very stark akasha on Rabbi Yehuda.
That's the connection, though, because the nosar, the mitzvah sasei is on the coin, but the mitzvah sol sasei is on everyone.
No, he said that the
The mitzvah to burn it
right is only on the coin.
Right. The mitzvah lo
sasei
not
of lo sasiru. Okay. So that's what we're gonna have to see. Good.
That's different than saying that the mitzvah is a mitzvah say tashvisu, and therefore you have the connection.
That's right. If you learn that way, which we'll see, is gonna get a little complicated when we get to a gemara daf yud beis. But yeah, keeping that in mind, that's very relevant to the sugya.
Maybe the comparison in the Torah that the pasuk lo sasiru is the end of parashas bo when you're talking about Pesach. So maybe just the location of in the Torah.
To me, Rabbi Huda is saying, look, I found a place in the Torah where the Torah says to get rid of things through burning. So that's the Torah's way of telling us that how do you get rid of things? Now you want to know why the Torah cared? Maybe that's not our job. Maybe Rabbi Huda says it's not our job. Why? I look in the Torah to know what to do. If the Torah tells me the means of destroying is through fire, so I think that's what you should do. That's the Torah, one option.
Doesn't Ramakas say it's a lavinita?
We're going to get to that. Very good.
So that's mm-hmm. embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. That's the good and the bad at the same time. Okay, we're going to have to deal with that in a few minutes.
Well, is it shot in getting rid of chametz from the whole world, or just getting rid of your chametz?
So we're going to talk about that also. Pashas, I have no chiv to burn your chametz. I have a chiv to burn my chametz.
But your chametz, you have a chiv to get rid of it from the world, and therefore...
So there might be... There seems to be a machloikis in the Gemara, in the Rabbanan Shita. How far do you have to go? You know, do you have to... Can you just take a whole piece of chametz and throw it into the ocean? It's not destroyed. It's floating in the ocean. Some lucky surfer might get it, you know. Or you have to tack it, crumple it up where it's nothing. Okay, so the question is the dafka mefarer zayr the ruch, or the Gemara has a discussion about machlokes Rabban and Yosef, how far according to the Chacham do you have to go to crumple it up, or can you just take a whole piece? So the Gemara is chashash, if you take a whole piece and throw it into the street, some nice Jewish boy might eat it on Pesach, which it might be a problem, even though you'll say, what do you mean? Well, it's not my problem. I got rid of my chametz. I'm good to go. Pashtus, the Torah wants you to get rid of your chametz to the extent that no one's going to, or at least you for sure are not going to eat it, or maybe even others won't come to eat it. But we're going to have to see in a few minutes exactly how far the Torah went with this mitzvah.
Can we go as far as saying if one had no chametz?
Oh, so we have to get to that. That we're going to have to see. How far does this mitzvah of this Asef Tashbisu goes?
By the way, what is the actual definition of Tashbisu? Destroy?
So the problem is if you look,
that's what I'm saying. But I mean,
even at the end of the shiur, we still won't know.
No, right. I'm saying.
Tashbisu, if you look at in the Targum Munkles, he teaches it to be Mavatal, which is part of the problem, because as we show him throughout Psachim, we'd have to really go through all Psachim.
Can
really,
scroll?
Yeah. I don't know. Stone edition is close enough. If you look in Targum, Targum translates to be Mavatal. There's a Rashi in Psachim that learns like that. That Tashbisu means to be Mavatal, nothing to do with burning. So that gets us into a much bigger issue over here. Is Tashbisu Bittal or is Tashbisu burning? So Tashbisu really means to rid of. But we'll see.
That's the actual definition.
That's the way I would translate it. I don't know if that's what our school does, but Rashi and the Targum and other places translate it means to be mavatal, to get rid of. There's a discussion in the Gemara how exactly we paskin, which is very relevant with halacha. We all know that everyone's very makbid klaisol. As far as I know, everyone's very makbid to burn their chametz. The question is why? It seems to be a machlokes tanoim, especially if you read the Gemara Psachim, you say that Yehuda was shlugged up. So Rabbi Yehuda's out. Yehuda's wrong. So go like the Rabbana, take your chametz and throw it anywhere.
And we don't when the first Seder is on
Sunday. Right, when we can't. Yeah, when we can't. But the question is, well, you know, this year everyone's going to burn their chametz, I'm assuming, in some form of a fire. It's getting rid of it in some way. And we'll see, that's the halacha, but we'll have to see exactly why. There's a discussion, how do we pass it? So there's a Mishnah in Temura. The Mishnah in Temura in Daf Lamed Gimel, number 4, says, the Eloi Nisraf. The Mishnah in Temura is discussing a whole list of things that are, certain things are Nisraf, and certain things are Nikvarid. Certain things, after they're done, we either bury them, or we burn them. So the Mishnah says in Temura, what are those things that get burnt? Chametz bePesach, Yisarif. Chametz bePesach gets burnt. It's one of the things that get burnt. This is chametz. So it's a Mefoish Mishnah in Temura. The Mishnah in Temura says we pass on like Yehuda, that it gets burnt. The Gemara number 5 in Temura is even more Mefoish. The Gemara says, Amar Mar Chametz bePesach Yisarif Stam Montanak Reb Yehuda. This Mishnah in Temura is Stam like Reb Yehuda. The Amar Ein Ber Chametz Elus Reifa. So we have a Gemara, a Mishnah in Temura, that seems to be very, very clear that the halacha is like a Yehuda. So many Rishonim want to discuss this raya. They want to say you have a raya from a Mishnah in Temura. Tosfos and Psachim assumes for Davar Pasha that this Gemara in Temura is not Mishnah in Temura. But the Gemara stelt sus to Reb Yehuda. And Reb Yehuda's sheet is Ein Bir Chametz Ela B'Sreifa, so that sounds like we're talking about before. Or maybe even on. We'll have to get to on. We'll have to get to that still. This time, that's going to turn up the whole sugya upside down. Okay, we'll get to that hopefully soon. But Tosfos says that this is a shtaka raya. Pascha like a Yehuda, nothing to talk about. Other Rishonim are a little bit more creative. They say, no, it's two different Siddurim. One's in Seder Moed and one's in Seder Kachin.
We
have rules that you have a stam b'achakach machoikis from Seder to Seder, it's not a problem. So the Rishonim try to get around this Mishnah Tumur. The reason why I brought this Mishnah Tumur was not for the halachic purposes. I wanted it for the lumdish purposes. The Gemara says in Tumur the following rule. Anything that's supposed to be burnt, when you burn it, the ashes are now mutar bahana. That's a rule the Mishnah says in Tumur. However, if it's something that's supposed to be buried, and you choose to burn it, then the ashes are us. That's the klal that the Mishnah says in Tumur. Why exactly is there such a funny rule? So Tosfos in Tumur number 6 says the following. Tzarech Ian, Taima Mai. What is the reason for such a principle? V'ayim emayri, den esrafin, kivin shet tziva hakas of l'sarfon, all those things that you burnt, as the Torah commanded you, after you did the burning, it's like you did what was commanded of you. It can't be that after you did what you're supposed to do, that there should be any Isser Ilo, and therefore, you'll have to get to all that, and therefore there's no problem of Isser Hana. The moment you do what's incumbent upon you, all the Surim go out. So Tosfos is trying to figure out what's the difference between being buried or being burnt. If I'm supposed to bury the thing and put it under the ground, and I decide, you know what, I don't want to take up good space on the ground, I'll burn it. I don't worry so much about, you know, what I'm doing to the ear. It's just, the ear and what we breathe, right? I'm not so ear friendly. But in any case, what's the din with the ashes? The ashes are also, because I didn't change the halachic status of the thing that it was before. But if the Torah says burn this thing, So then I'm doing what the Torah wants of me. Once I do what the Torah says, I'm done. The Torah removes all responsibility, all dinim, all hanhagas from this thing, and now the ashes are completely mut.
So if I bury it and I dig it up after, I already did my, I buried it.
Oh, okay. So we're going to have to see. That's what we're going to get to in a second. Oh, good. That's what we're getting to. That's where this this comes in. Okay, this is the side of Taisvis and Tumur, which again, if not for the today's share, would have really very little relevance for anything. Why is this coming? So there's a very famous piece of Reb Chaim on the Rambam and Hilchos Chametz u'Matzah. We could spend the whole share just on this Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim starts off the following. There's a Rambam and Hilchos Chametz u'Matzah. The Rambam writes like this in Perek Alpha, Hilchos Gimel number 7, is we're just quoting from Reb Chaim, where he repeats the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Ein loikim shum lo yirov lo yimotzei. A person cannot get malchus for the lava by yirov by yimotzei. Ella im kein kono chametz bePesach. Unless he actually goes out on Pesach and goes to 7-Eleven and buys chametz, so he did a maisa. Now we can get malchus for the lava by yirov by yimotzei. Oy chametzei kidei sheyase ba maisa. You got to do a maisa." Let's say he has chametz, he's just too lazy to get rid of it, but he doesn't do anything. He's sitting there. He sits at his seder with his kittel and everything, and he doesn't get rid of the chametz. He's not interested. Says the Rambam, in that's the case. He can't get malchus. This guy's not exactly a tzaddik. He's over two lavim. He can't get malchus. Because he didn't do any action. Okay, seems to be a very simple Rambam. The Rambam is machalik between if you do an action, so then it's a lav sheish b'maisa. You don't do an action, it's a lav sheish b'maisa. Seems to be a very, very simple reading of the Rambam. Frek Ibchaim, if I hikshu de'ech leike klal ha'alav de'lo'i ro'i v'lo'i mot. Frek Ibchaim, I don't understand. It's only from the Rambam it's possible to get malchus for ba'i ro'i mot'i. The only problem is you got to figure out how to get a lav, how to get an action there. So if you can go do an action, then you'll get malchus. For the Chaim, it's a mafurish gemara, not like that. The gemara says, "I'm sachem daf tzadi hei, mavur lehedya the lav, the lo yirov, lo yimotze, have a lav, anitek lasei de tashbisu." The gemara says, "I'm sachem that the asei of tashbisu is to fix up the lav of ba yirov, ba yimotze. It's a lav anitek lasei. It's like veheishiv esagzei lashagol, same type of thing." Because Shalai Rambam Shapasak the Bekoina Chametz to Pesach to have a ma'isa loike. So for the Chaim, I don't understand. The mafurish gemara. The Rambam. It is. It's a shot. Yeah, but the pasht is the reading of the. Very good. That's Reb Chaim's terence. We're going to get to that in a second. That's what Reb Chaim's going to answer. But Reb Chaim's kash is mafurish gemara daf tzadi hey in psachim that says that the gemara takes for davar pashit that the asay of tashbisu is to be menatik is to fix up the lav of ba'yura ba'yimotze, which agav means that the tashbisu has to apply when there's ba'yura ba'yimotze. We discussed that a few minutes ago that they might not be connected. We'll discuss that a little bit more later. But that's the assumption of the Gemara. So the Gemara says that they go connected. So for Chaim, we have a rule that anything that's alive in the say you never get malchus. So what's the Rambam saying? You can get malchus if you then do an action. You can do an action all you want. Gzela is an action, and there's no malchus for gzela because it's the heishiv is gzela is alive in the say. So for Chaim, how can the Rambam say you're going to get malchus over here? It's alive in the class. That's Reb Chaim's kash. Zok Reb Chaim again. We really should be reading Reb Chaim more pieces to this.
Once you see it, you're over it. Before Pesach, you can do the Tashbisu.
So again, that's what we're going to have to get to. Exactly what's the relationship, so to say, between the Tashbisu and the Baal Yira? Are they exactly there to help each other, to ensure each other, or are they really two independent things? So Zakhtu B'chaim, V'nira B'zeh. We're going to try to read through every word of B'chaim over here. V'nira B'zeh, Zakhtu B'chaim. Dihine, Hiksheb Kivega ala Tor. Before B'chaim gets to his big Yisai to answer up this Rambam, he first deals with Reb Kivega's Kash on the Tor. What is Reb Kivega's Kash on the Tor? The Tor writes that according to Behuda, the chametz mitzvah is b'sreifa afari mutter. According to Behuda, if you take your chametz, you burn up all the ashes, so you can use the ashes afterwards. Why? Because the Mishnah says in Tumura, kol hanisrafim afari mutter. Anything that's a mitzvah to burn the ashes are mutter. So if you take your chametz, you burn it up, and I don't know what you want to do with the ashes, but whatever you want to do with those ashes, you can use them. The ashes don't have a shame isuriyana. But according to the Rabbanon, that's not the case. According to the Rabbanon, that you can burn it through any mechanism, so that really means, it's a fancy way of saying, it's really a nikvar, it's really supposed to be buried. And therefore, since it's really supposed to be buried, even if you choose to burn it, you would not be allowed to use the ashes. That's the cheshbon that the Torah makes. Seems to be a very logical cheshbon. The Mishnah says, things that are nesrafim, ashes mutter, things that are not nesrafim, ashes are aser. So according to the Rabbanon, chametz is not something that's supposed to be burned. You chose to burn it, that's great, that's very nice, but it's not supposed to be burned, and therefore you weren't mekayim the tziva Hashem. Yeah, 100%. Comes back to that very much, right? So, Frektib Kivager, I don't understand the whole kasha. Frektib Kivager, what's the Torah talking about? Taisvis told us in Tumur, what's the rules? The rule is when you do what the Torah wants of you, then the ashes are an usher. According to Rabban, I did exactly what the Torah wanted from me. The Torah said, Tashbisu b'chol davar. The Torah said, get rid of it in any way. I did that. I chose to use fire as my way. But that was a fulfillment of the Torah. By nikvarin of the Mishnais and Tumur, and the Torah really doesn't care what you do. The Torah just says, I don't want people coming to eat these things, so get rid of it. Here the Torah didn't say it. The Torah said, Tashbisu. I did what the Torah wanted. The lack of specificity of the Torah is guf akim ha-Torah. For actually, because the Torah said, just do Tashbisu however you want to, so I did that. So I was mekayim the tziva ha-Torah. If I'm mekayim the tziva ha-Torah, the asher should be mutter. That's what b'kveigah's kasha on the Torah. It's a shtickle fun. It's like a gavra karamis. He's asking a kash on the Torah from a Tosis. They can argue on each other. They're both Rishonim. And Tosis is not bound by the Torah, and the Torah is not bound by Tosis. But that's the Kivegas kasha that he asks on his spiritual Shulchan Aruch. He asks on the Torah. So to answer this kasha, and the first kasha, Reb Chaim says a very, very big yesoid in the mitzvah of Tashbisu. So Reb Chaim will start in the middle where he says Venira. So Reb Chaim, Venira de loidomi ha mitzvah shal Tashbisu, the hashvesosa bichol dovel a mitzvah sreif. Says Reb Chaim, there's a fundamental difference between the mitzvah according to the Rabbanan and the mitzvah we'll say according to Reb Yehuda. The mitzvah's tashbisu b'shar hashvasayis, when it comes according to the Chachamim, where it's a mitzvah. Again, according to the Chachamim, you take your chametz and you throw it into the ocean, you're also being mekayim a mitzvah. You're getting a schar, you did the ratzon Hashem. But, ha'v'ikr ha'mitzvah shelo yeh ha'baylem chametz. The real mitzvah's ha'tayru, according to Rabbanan, is not get rid of chametz. It's make sure you don't have chametz. What Reb Chaim is going to call later, Alav Haba Mechlal Aseh. The real Hakpadis HaTayr is not to get rid of Chametz. The real Hakpadis HaTayr is to ensure you don't have Chametz when Pesach comes. Masha'enke de mitzvasa b'sreifa, but if you hold like Reb Yehuda that you're supposed to specifically burn it, then you can't say it's a din. If the Torah goes out of its way and tells me to burn it, that's not like the Torah saying that I don't want you to have Chametz. That means the Torah is telling us very clearly what to do with this object. Therefore, have a mitzvah shechayel b'hachetzeh shal hachametz, the chayla b'adin sreifa. It means the Torah is saying that this object needs to have something specifically done to it. It needs to have a sreifa process done to it. When it comes to that the Mishnah Temura, when something that's mutter, that we say it gets, you did its mitzvah, that's when the obligation was on the object, and I fulfilled that obligation on the object, now the object took lost all its issurim and now becomes mutter. But not when the owners did what they needed to do. So the way it sounds like from Reb Chaim is very much Gavra Chavtza type of thing. According to Behuda, Sveifas Chometz is a din of the Chavtza. You got to get rid of this actual piece of Chometz. It's got to be gone. And how you do it? According to Behuda. It's a din of the Chavtza. According to Behuda?
No,
no. We're going to come back to this. We're going to mix this up a couple of times before we finish. Don't worry. We're going
to
get to all this. We'll break it down another level in a second. But just the simple reading of Reb Chaim, it sounds like by the Rabbanon, the Chiv is not in the getting rid of this specific piece of Chametz. I have to have a Chametz-free zone. That's what the Rabbanon holds. I need a Chametz-free zone when Pesach comes. How I ensure my house is a Chametz-free zone, it's up to you. However you want to go about doing it. But the point is, it has to be a Chametz-free zone. According to Behuda, it's not the Pesach I need a Chametz-free zone. Because if I would need a Chametz-free zone, why would the Torah care how I burn it? Because the Torah looks at Chametz and says, oh, this object needs to get removed through a certain specific way. How we know that Ayin Nois. So therefore, says Reb Chaim, that's the difference between the Rabbanon and Reb Yehuda. According to Rabbanon, it's you to ensure you have a Chametz-free zone. According to Rabbanon, you have to get rid of this Chametz specifically. Okay. So now, how does that go back to anything we're discussing? So, Reb Chaim, V'alkein Shaper Mechalek Hator Ben Ashvesase B'chol Dover U'Bein B'Sreifa. Now I understand the Reb Kivega's kasha. When it comes to an object, that the object needed to be done a certain thing to it, so then we say, oh, it got what was done, you moved on, you're done. But over here, Kodesh Rabbani, even if I did the Ratzon HaTorah, but the Ratzon HaTorah wasn't on the object, the Ratzon HaTorah was on me, what I needed to do, so to say. Therefore, that's why the Torah would hold, the offer doesn't become mutter. Okay. How does this go back to answer Reb Chaim's first kasha, Pshat in the Rambam? So Reb Chaim, beautiful now. The machloikis between Rabban and Reb Yehuda is goofa going to be, is it a lav anitek la'aseh or not? According to the Rabban, there's no way you could tell me that the aseh is a lav anitek la'aseh. What is the aseh? The aseh is a lav abo mechlal aseh. The whole purpose of the aseh is not to fix the lav, but it's to ensure you're not over the lav. The Torah says, I don't want there to be chametz in your house. How do you ensure that? To have a chametz-free zone is the way to ensure you don't have chametz in your house. So the whole assay is not to fix the lav, but instead the assay is to be mechazik the lav. It's what we call a lav abom mechal assay. But according to Behuda, it's a regular assay. I want you to get rid of chametz like this. So it becomes a regular assay. So according to Behuda, it will taka be a lav anitek assay. So to b'chayim, that's the pshat. The Rambam paskins like the Rabbanon. The Rambam paskins like the Rabbanon. So if the Rambam passes like the Rabbanan, it's never a lav anitek la'aseh. Because according to the Rabbanan, that's not the understanding of the aseh. The Gemara in Pesach and Tzadi Hei was going according to Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, it's takal lav nezek lasei, very gishmak, because that's the lomnus of the asei tashbisa according to Rabbi Yehuda. How could the Rambam pass you're going to get malchus? Because the Rambam pass was like the Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, it's not a lav nezek lasei, according to Rabbanan, it's a lav habom mechlal lasei. So it's a lav habom mechlal lasei, it's not a kasha. That's how Reb Chaim wants to answer up shot in this Rambam. So according to Reb Chaim, we have what you seemingly call something about a gavra and a chatzah. That according to Yehuda, the Sefer Chametz is a din in the chetza of the chametz. As opposed to Yehuda, it's more a din in you. You as a person have to ensure you don't have chametz in your hands. Right, the Rambam goes like a bunch of other Rishonim will do that also. That they pass like Rabbanan over Rabbi Yehuda, even though
the opposite or
what.
According to
Yehuda, right. According to Yehuda, according to Rabbanan, it's a din in the gav.
Is it lav mechalal asei? Is that the opposite? Is it asei?
No, well, the point.
I say is on Yom Kippur, right? He needs an asei.
Right.
But then we have a law not to eat, which we derive from the asei. Torah never says not to eat, right?
Right.
Here, the asei is coming as a function of the law, not the law coming as a function of the asei.
Right, but the point, the point over the asei is not here to fix up the law. The asei is to mechazik the law. It's not. Heishes and zela, right? It's not to ensure that you don't steal.
No, exactly. Right? So
by returning it, you're not ensuring you're not stealing. But, right? Then you're fixing it. But here...
Okay, that's the law. That's the ikur din. Right?
Right.
But we don't derive the law from the assay of Tashbisu. We derive the assay of Tashbisu from the law.
No, you're right. The point over here is that the assay is not functioning as a dover l'chshalatmi. The assay is really just here to strengthen the idea of the law. Now, it's a little funny. When if a person was over by your rabbi matzei, burning your chametz is not going to fix it. You're not going to undo it. Even yesh l'adam by gzela, we could talk about it. Do you undo stealing? You did it. It was done. By returning, what exactly is the lomnus of nitak lasei? Okay, it's really for a different shmuz. But that's Reb Chaim's premise. Just for fun, Sheba, there's a very famous tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's a number 8b. I'm not even sure if it has anything to do with this Reb Chaim. I'm just going to mention it just to have something to bounce around people's minds for the day. Reb Moshe talks about the following scenario. Reb Moshe klaz a shayla, halachik shayla. What happens if a person lives in America and he was in Eretz Yisrael and he realizes on Erev Pesach in America, 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, he goes, Aveh. I have tons of chametz sitting in my house in Eretz Yisrael. I didn't sell it, whatever the story was. Tons of chametz sitting in my rishus in Eretz Yisrael. So Zakhtar Moshe, 1 second. On one end, he's in America. There's no Issa Bayi Rabbi Matzi yet. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. But his chametz is in a place where it is Pesach. So how do you look at it? Do you go Gavra or do you go Chavtza? This was the Shaila presented to Moshe Feinstein. So Moshe Feinstein wrote in the Tshuva number 8b, She'ikul adinul inyan ha'isra ba'yiro va'asei di tashbisu shu'rak al ha'gavra. It's only a din on the person. If you're in a place where it's not yet Pesach, you're in America on Erev Pesach Friday, 8 o'clock in the morning, so where you are, it's not Pesach. My chametz is in Eretz Yisrael, and my chametz is in my house, no question, it's my rishus. Even according to the Ramban, I should be able to buy your rabbi. Yeah, it's no chash achila. It's very, very slim chance I'm going to get there and eat it, but it doesn't matter. There's an Isser by your rabbi Matzah. There's no Isser by your rabbi Matzah because the Isser and the Asay of Tashbisu, he writes that also, is totally in the Gavra. It's not totally in the chefetz of the chametz. Now, Rav Moshe doesn't really bring too much of a right to this. He says it for like a davar pashut, that the assume of the Torah totally in your gavra.
What happens 7 hours later?
Yes, so 7 hours later, you'll be in trouble. You'll have to fix it before. Yeah, now, I'm not saying you're not going to have a problem here, but just the question is right now at 8 o'clock in the morning here in America.
So you could do bittul now.
Right. You could do bittul now and save it. The question is, am I over by the guy wakes up? Is it too late now? That was the question. So you'll have to get someone. It's going to get tricky. But the question is in lomdus. Rav Moshe was dealing with in the lomdus. Would one say that by your rabbi Matzah is in the chetz of the chametz? Right. If the chetz of the chametz. But I'm not so sure if this Rav Moshe is totally necessarily the machlekes between the rabban. I think everyone might agree. At the end of the day, all dinei hatera. Even if it's the din of my chefza of my chametz, my chefza has to be connected to me. I think even Reb Chaim will tell you that. You can talk chefzas all you want, but chefzas have to be misaches to a person. It can't be a din that my chametz is over a surah. My chametz doesn't exist. Who's my chametz? My chametz is an extension of me. So my chametz that I have to deal with, so then is there a din of gavra chefza. But just to say that my chametz l'chshal atzmoy should have dinim, and I'm not sure. If you think about it, right, that's why I'm always back and forth with this information. Because if you think about it, see what I mean? If the Torah was mechali something special about chametz on Pesach, then you're not allowed chametz in your rishos. So l'maisa, I have chametz in my rishos. Can I separate me from my rishos? It's a very interesting shayla. Reb Moshe thinks no. Reb Moshe thinks the din HaTorah are chal on you as a human being. I have an Isser, so my chametz has an Isser, my Rishus has an Isser. What happens when I split the two? My Rishus can have dinim and I don't have dinim, so Moshe thinks that's not true. I think that's something you can think about, and does that make so much sense? Normally, it would make a lot of sense, but again, My chatzur could be kind of for me if I'm not there. My rishus is an entity on its own. And just like Ba'i Rola Yamatzeh, it should be an entity. Why is it not like that here also? So maybe it has to do with this Reb Chaim. Maybe not.
The time of the Krah. And, you know, maybe if the reason doesn't apply, does that necessarily mean the halacha?
No, I'm saying a guy goes away and he travels, you know, a 6-hour flight to go away for Pesach and he leaves his house full of chametz. He's going to have a Ba'i Rola. I think so. Even though there's no chash achilo there, but Ba'i Rola is an independent listener. The guy has chametz in his rishos. So one could say he has chametz in his rishos. Rav Moshe would say, yeah, very nice, he has chametz in his rishos. But you'll have chametz in your rishos on Shavuos also. This is not Pesach. I the mokim where he is, klape the chametz and the rishos, it is Pesach. Good. So Rav Moshe says it doesn't matter. We look at the person, we don't look at the object. I just think it's a fascinating tshuva, but yeish lod, and I'm not so sure if it's going to be directly connected to this Reb Chaim. I think it needs more explanation.
Would Rav Moshe hold that in this case a person has popular Israel, he should arrange?
Yeah.
Rav Moshe talks about
how do you deal with you should be makbid on it. It goes back the other way also. When you're going to end before them, it's complicated. When dealing with chametz and etzisra, it's much more complicated. I only think, again, this purpose of Rav Moshe,
the same thing. People that go to the West Coast,
anytime you're dealing with a different time zone. I just brought this Rav Moshe for what I think is a big lomnish and a kuda over here, and how Rav Moshe understood all this surah chametz. Even if you want to talk about chavtza, it still has to be connected to a gavra at some
point. And what if he sold it? And the sale is chal on Pesach, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's Pesach in Israel, but it's not Pesach here.
Right.
Can you still get hanof in the morning when you were, in theory, you already sold?
That's right. So if you're going to make the mechira, you got to be very careful how you make the mechira. Make sure it's working with all different time zones. You got to do everything right. It's Rav Moshe writes tshuvas about how exactly to do. So
I sell my whole.
There seems to be a couple of other ways to possibly learn Reb Chaim. For example, Reb Soloveitchik, when he read through this Reb Chaim, he thought Reb Chaim may be saying a different lamdas. Soloveitchik felt that Reb Chaim was not talking so much Gavra Chavtza. Reb Chaim was talking more the lingo of what we call Sheva Al Tase versus Kumvase. He writes in Harei Kedem, other Achrenim make this case, the Chazanish. Others make this case that Reb Chaim is not so much Gavra Chavtza as we're reading it like that in the words of Reb Chaim. If you look at the end of Reb Chaim, and maybe more Reb Chaim is focusing on the idea of how is a person Mekayim Tashbisu. Is a person Mekayim Tashbisu by doing an action of taking Chametz and ridding your house of it? That's called a Kumvase. Or the way you mekayim tashbis is by just doing nothing, by having a chametz free zone. A chametz free zone is also a kim tashbis. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I happen to have no chametz in my house. I emptied all my chametz before Pesach. You know, no chametz. I didn't do anything. Nothing. So according to the rabban, I was also mekayim tashbis. Because tashbis says to have a chametz free zone. I have a chametz free zone. So the whole mitzvah saseh of tashbis is really by not doing something. How are you mekayim a positive commandment of the Torah, according to the Rambanan, is by doing nothing. It's by ensuring you have a chametz free zone, which could be accomplished by doing nothing, by being sheva al tas. According to Behuda, no, it's not like that. It's a kumvase. You have to go out and actually do something. You have to do an action of going and burning the chametz. That's a mice. You have to do something. Why?
Because chametz.
Why? Why
do you want to have something for the Masarif, according to Rabbi Huda?
Yeah, maybe. We're going to talk about that. It's the famous Minchas Chinuch. What happens if a person travels and he goes away for Pesach and he's now by family and doesn't own a piece of chametz? Is he mechuyev to go buy chametz so he can kind of save his chametz? Is that such an obligation?
So he just asked me an interesting question.
He can't talk.
My mother's apartment. So there's still, chametz and spaghetti, whatever there is in the cupboard. So she doesn't own it anymore. We don't own it yet because it's...
No, you guys own it.
Do we own it?
Yeah, you guys are Yershim. You guys own it.
Got to sell, David.
I got to sell.
Go to the JFK now.
No, I just go and make an addendum.
Yeah. It might be a little. Man, you got to add it to your list.
You have to pay the rabbi extra.
bigger check.
You might have to make some deal with how he's going to get access to that apartment. You might have to give him some code or something. Whatever the rabbi's opinion with giving keys over, but you got to make it somehow real. You know, if the guy is really that determined, he's going to actually take a flight to get the chametz. You never know. Depends what's in there. But yeah, that could be a problem.
It's good possible.
Okay. So if you learn it like that, that the shayla is it a kumvase or is it a sheval tas? That's the way if Soloveitchik thought the Reb Chaim is really telling us. And he had the kasha. He says if that's the case, he doesn't understand the Rambam. What type of mitzvah sase is that? Mitzvah sase is a positive commandment. Do something. Put on tefillin. Do something. What are you doing over here? Don't do something? How can that be a mitzvah sase? That's not a kiyam ase. Ases are not don't do something. That's a lav. Ases are go out and do something. According to Bani, you don't have to go out and do anything. Just make sure your house is chametz free. Kick anyone out who brings chametz in, and you'll have a chametz free zone. Where's the asay part? And he points out, if you look at the Rambam in number 9, the Rambam writes, "Mitzvah asay min ha'toyer la hashbis ha'chametz kaidus v'anisur." Really? Not according to the Rabbanan. The Rambam Patzkin is like the Rabbanan. There's no mitzvah saseh to do anything. It just have a chametz rizon. You don't have to do anything. So for this reason, Reb Soloveitchik and others didn't think necessarily that's what Reb Chaim is coming for about a sheva al tasa versus kum vaseh. We'll come back to that in a few minutes.
By the way, maybe that's pshat in the af. You know, is it really is a ma'aseh that you are doing something.
Nachachamim.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to come back to that. Yeah,
well, yeah, no, maybe pshat is in order you can burn it, or you can even do this, but you got to do a ma'aseh.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that. Well, again, mefarah would also be a ma'aseh.
Right.
We're going to come back to Rabbanu Shita in a minute. If you go the first way we said, Reb Chaim, that we're talking about, is it an assay independent, or is it assay halav abal machal assay? A chayra nafkimina could be, are women mechoyiv in tashbisu? The women of a lady lives by herself. Lives by herself, she has her own apartment, she has her own. Does she have a mitzvah of tashbisu? So again, obviously she's going to have to get rid of the chametz because natural be'er v'bal yiro. That was a shagazayir's kasha. But putting that aside, so if you hold it,
why would you think a woman would never hear?
Because it's an asay as mangroma. It's an asay as mangroma. Women are potter. So now here, so if you learn it's a lava bo mechal asay, so a whole asay is to be mechazik the lav. So then in that case, it goes with the lav. So if they're chayv in the lav, they're chayv in the asay. But if it's an independent asay, so then maybe they're not mechuyif. So halachom I say we paskin that women should burn the chametz, but it could be a nafkamina and lundis whether or not you learn it's the lava bo mechal asay or it's an independent asay. Maybe. Again, I'm saying you'll have the Shagasayas Kasha that you'll have to burn it not because of Tashbis, you'll have to burn it because not your beer.
Just like by anyone who's
high
by Rabbi
Matzah. Yeah, maybe. But that could be negated if you hold the Tashbis who starts even before Rabbi Matzah starts. So for those hours on Erev Pesach, will they have a mitzvah of Tashbis? That could be a possible enough community.
Why is this any different than Nosar or Vesh Zagzela? It's an assay, but you don't get that assay unless you do.
Lots so
the same thing
with Teshvisa. Right, because by Heshev Zagzela, any time you could do it here.
But you have to do Gzela in order to do Heshev Zagzela. So if you didn't do the Gzela, then you're not being Mekai, and then you don't have.
Right, it's over here.
You don't have Chametz, you're not Mekai, the Teshvisa.
Right, so in that case, the Pshat is you weren't Mekai, you weren't Mevatel either. You got neither.
Yeah.
You circumvented it, so to say.
Right, exactly. Right.
True. So how we answer up this Reb Chaim? So if you look so there's a very famous Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch says this exact chakira. Is Sreifas Chometz a din in Sheval Taseh, or is it a Kum Vaseh? So we would have said that Gufa might be the Machloikis of Yehudah and the Rabbanon. The Machloikis of Yehudah and the Rabbanon, Gufa is the Shaila. Is Chometz Kum Vaseh, or is Chometz Sheval Taseh? Nafkimina is a person Machloik to go on Erev Pesach and go out and buy a Chometz in order to throw it out. According to the Rabbanon, no. According to Yehudah, yes. So that's Mamish the Suffolk of the Minchas Chinuch. Whether or not that's exactly what Reb Chaim means is debatable, but that's a famous chakira in the Gav Machlokes of Yehudah and the Rabbanon. The Minchas Asher, Reb Asher Weiss, discusses this idea, this Reb Chaim, and he wants to take it one step further. He wants to break it down one more level. He wants to say like this. Let's clear another chakira in the midst of Tashbisu. He says like this. He tainas like if Soloveitchik had Shver on Reb Chaim. You can't tell me that according to Rabbanon, it's Sheval Tas. It can't be. It can't be there's a mitzvah sase to do nothing. Those things don't exist. He has kashas. We find it by tzitzis maybe, by wearing tzitzis. That's not necessarily a kumba sase. Okay. But he says it's hard to believe that you're mkaima sase by doing nothing. So he wants to break it down one more level. He says like this. Let's clear another chakira. In the mitzvah sase tashbisu, of course it's a kumba sase. No doubt. You got to do something. But the question is, who has to do something? Do I have to do something? The owner of the chametz? Or does someone have to do something?
Another way of saying Gavra Chefsa?
It is, but he doesn't want to accept this idea.
Fine.
Right, right. That's his idea. He doesn't want to accept the idea that there's a possibility that you could just do nothing and be Mekayim the Mitzvah. It's impossible. Doing nothing is not an option.
How
is
a Shliach?
Right, the Nafkimina is going to be a Shliach.
Shliach is you.
No, not if it's someone who doesn't have Shliach. We'll get to that in a second. So let's see what he says.
How are you Mekayim it if you share Valtasa?
By not having Chametz. If I get rid of all my Chametz 2 weeks before Pesach, so then I just don't have Chametz when Pesach comes. So that was a key of having a Chametz free zone. Tashbisu means having a Chametz free house. I was Mekayim it. I didn't really do anything specifically, or definitely not on Erev Pesach, even though we'll see.
You have to do it.
That's what I was going to get to. We'll see that you might be able to Mekayim Tashbisu up to 30 days before Pesach, which makes things a little bit more complicated.
And when did we learn at the beginning of the year, which I may have missed, was that the Yom HaRishon Tashbisu?
Right, so that's what Rashi says, and the Gemara brings that means on your dalet. So there's right. A din tashbis on your dalet, and then we'll see there's also a din tashbis within 30 days, and then on your dalet there's going to be a machlokes rishonim when in your dalet. So we're going to have to hold off if we get there. We'll talk about it. Maybe I would say next week, but I don't know what's going to happen. Good. I want to get to that. The machlokes beisham beisol about that. We'll hopefully get to that.
I think this is going to be like a salvagic shiur, 3 hours shiur, before Pesach.
Hopefully. So Reb Asher Weiss tells us this: there's two types of mitzvahs in the Torah. Mitzvahs asays. It's a mitzvah asay that we call a din in the gavra. You have to do it. You need to put on tefillin. No one else can put tefillin on for you. There's a whole taste of reading Kedushin that talks about can you have shlichus with tefillin. Okay, you can't do it. But there's certain types of mitzvahs asay where you don't have to do it. Let's example, Micah. You have to put up a fence around your house. It's an asay. Can you have a guy put up a fence? Can you hire a Spanish guy to do it? Why not? Why not? Why can't you do it? It's an assay, because not every assay in the Torah is that the Torah says you have to do. Not every assay is that did in the Gavra. Says Dr. Bashabai, same thing here also. Is the mitzvah's assay of Tashbisu you have to burn your chametz? Or that some or the chametz has to be burnt by someone or get rid of by someone? Does it have to be you? No. But it has to be get rid of by someone. Someone has to do a ma'aseh Tashbisu on it. Who it has to be? We don't care. So what's the nafkemina? She says the nafkemina is a machloek is a magravano b'kivega. What happens if you give your chametz to a guy? You give it to the guy to burn. So Magen Avraham says no problem, you can do that. Kvega says chas v'shalom, ain't shlichus l'guy. So time to the Bashar Weiss, what do you mean ain't shlichus l'guy? I don't need shlichus for this. It's not a din in shlichus. Shlichus is when it's a din begavra, I need to do it and only I can do it. Then you need to come on to shlichus. That's why by tefillin you got to come on to shlichus and you don't have it. But it's not a din in shlichus. The Torah says someone's got to get rid of my chametz. Who that someone is? That's up to you. Anyone can do it. You can have a cotton, you can have a send a monkey, ma'aseh kaif bi'alma, you can send the guy.
Can you make a problem?
On what?
If you hold that din in the chetz and you gave it to someone who's not a bar shlichus, could you make a bracha of your chametz?
Yes, yeah, so in that case.
Well, do you have to be there when it's burning?
He might tell you could, because the mitzvah is that it gets burnt. What Rosh Hashanah is doing for us over here, he's breaking down just one more level. He's saying that there's no real tzad to say kum va'aseh versus sheval tasa. That can't be the machlekes. That's impossible. Machlekes could be is in kum va'aseh, how far does that have to go? Who needs to do the kum va'aseh? Someone's got to do something on Erev Pesach to rid the house of chametz.
Does someone have to do something or does something have to happen?
No, some action has to be done. The question is, who's going to do that?
So it has to be an action by a person.
Yeah.
Because like, what if you had all your chametz in a barn and it got hit by lightning and it burned up? No, seriously.
Right.
Or a fire started. Or a cat went in and
I'm not sure.
Kerosene.
I'm not sure if that would be considered that you considered you did a ma'aseh.
Well, I'm going back to the time of the Gemara.
I'm not sure if that would be a din that you did the ma'aseh. But the way he gains, what he gains by all this, in my opinion, what he gains by all this is he takes away this side of, again, if Shalvei and others are also very against this side of kum va'aseh versus shavatas. They thought it's not true. It's got to be a kum va'aseh. The shayla is, who does the kum va'aseh? That's the way he wants to learn.
So you don't have comments for 30 days. You're already coming.
Okay, so that we have to get to in a second. What happens if you, within 30 days? But l'chayla, very big nafkemina, if a person goes, let's say, to the fire station or one of these communal burnings, and you give it to the guy to throw it in. So according to Kveger, you weren't yaitz the shvefas chametz. I mean, yeah, the chametz is out of your house. You're no worse than the rabbanon, so to say. But you weren't mekayim Reb Yehuda, because according to Kveger, the Magen Avraham will tell you are yaitz. Because if you hold that it's a din in kum va'aseh and it's a din in the gavra, so according to Reb Yehuda, you got to be able to burn.
That's like an extension of your
yad. No, it's no shlichus l'gai. If you hold it, you need to do it. So what? Doesn't matter. But you didn't do it. At the end of the day, it was like someone else burnt it. If something else started a fire in your rishos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't be yeshlod. If you were mekayimit, maybe. You know, that wasn't considered a ma'isa dumbi. That was a Kvega's problem.
But if you put it in the fire.
Yeah, then you're good. That's the best thing. A person puts it in his fire.
Right. As a Jewish volunteer.
Right, that would be the best thing, to get one of the volunteers to put it in for you, a Jewish person. This way you don't have any chashash. You can throw it in yourself, whatever you do. That would be even better. There's a machloikis beisham beisol. Okay, we're not going to get to a lot of what I want to get to. Next Sunday, I don't think there's an option. Okay. There's a machloikis beisham beisol in Daf Chaf Aleph. I've got to be in the neighborhood also. But there's a machloikis, the other side of town. There's a machloikis in the Mishnah and Daf Chaf Aleph between beisham beisol about selling chametz before Pesach. Beisham says, Layimkur Adam Chemtzel Lenachu, you can't sell your chametz to a guy. Elim can you do, number 14. Elim can you do a bashi yichla kaidim Pesach. Beisham says, you can't sell your chametz to a guy unless you know for sure it's going to be gone before Pesach comes. I sell it to a guy 2 weeks before Pesach, he's got to finish it up before Pesach. Seems very strange.
Why should it matter?
As long as I can eat it, I can sell it. No problem. What's the machlokes telling you? So, B'chanan writes over here in Kavit Shurim, just to really mix with everyone's mind. So, Dr. B'chanan, I'll tell you Pshat machlokes. Beis Hillel Savri, what does Beis Hillel hold? Afshekva chalav chayv is beer, even though there's already a chayv to burn it, v'hayin mishum d'chiv ha'shvase mischadish olav b'chol shah b'shah sheesh l'chametz. There's a mitzvah that say every second that you have chametz, you have a positive mitzvah to get rid of it. But if I sold it, I don't have any more chametz. If I don't have any more chametz, I can't have a mitzvah to get rid of it. So that's Beis Shammai, very logical. What does Beis Shammai hold? Zogter Bechonu, Beis Shammai Sari, to Huchayv is Gavra. It's different. Unbelievable chiddush. You had a chiv to get rid of your chametz. I did. I gave it to a guy. That's not good enough. Why? That's not good enough. The only way is to ensure that it's gone before Pesach. That's how Beis Shammai understood it. Somehow a lumdis of a, what Rabbi Chanan calls gavra and a cheftin, a different way of understanding it.
Then you're lining up Rabbi Yehuda with Beis Shammai.
Then it should come out that Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanah might be telling us Beis Shammai itself. Just to wrap up, again, there's much more to talk about. I just want to point out something fascinating in the Shulchan Aruch. If you turn to the next side, the Mechaber writes, so what do we do halach l'maisa? Ketzad bir chametz, sarfoi. So first of all, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rabbanon that you could also burn it. Good, so you can do whatever you want according to Sfaradim. Dr. Amar, Hagah, v'haminog l'sarfoi. The minog is to burn it. Why? Why is the minog to burn it? So Pasha, because we just saw. So Chalik is Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. So the reason why we burn it is because we want to get both sheet as Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. There's only one problem. It the machlokes we show you on a Gemara and Daf Yud Beis and Pesachim. The Gemara and Pesachim Daf Yud Beis number 20 says that Rabbi Yehuda himself doesn't always hold. You need to always burn chametz. Even Rabbi Yehuda holds, you don't always have to burn it. Only sometimes you have to burn it. When do you have to burn it? Zokta Gemara. Emasai shaloi b'shas bi'urei. That's if it's not the time when you're supposed to burn it. Avo b'shas bi'urei. But if it's when the time you're supposed to burn it, then hashvasas b'chol davar. Then you can burn it with anything. What exactly is that? So it's a big machlokes b'shayim. Rashi and Tosfos. Right, it's Imam turns over everything. It's kavaldik. That's a great. Yeah, so Rashi learns when exactly are these hours? When are we talking about? So Rashi learns the beginning of the sixth hour, when chometz is still muta midereisa. It's only after the seventh hour chometz becomes aser deraisa. Chometz is aser is muta midereisa. Then Rabbi Yehuda says you have to bedafka burn it with fire. Avo b'shas biurah. But if you're going to actually burn it in the seventh hour when chometz is already aser, then you can do whatever you want. Then you can burn it any way you want, which is very strange. Right? Because, in fact, Taisa Zakasha, one second. I thought we're learning from Nicer. How does Nicer work? Nicer is when it becomes Nicer, then you have a chiv to burn it. According to Rashi, it's not Nicer yet. It's too early. It's still mutter. It's still, if I'm allowed to eat it, it's not Nicer yet. So what's the comparison? So Taisa has his kasha. Taisa disagrees. And Taisa ends up saying that no, it's talking about when you burn it later. So Im Kain, the Rosh learns, according to Rashi, what happens if you burn in the fifth hour? Which is when we burn the chametz. You burn in the fifth hour. What happens then? So the chalik between the Rosh and the Tor, if you burn in the fifth hour, is according to Rashi, that's the time to burn it or not the time to burn it. Big machalik is Rishayin. So the Fiza, that's pshat over here. When the Ramah writes about the minig l'sarfei, the minig is because when we burn a chametz, even according to Yehuda, you don't have to burn it, according to most Rishayinim. Because even according to Yehuda, we're burning it too early. When we burn our chametz, even if Yehuda was watching our Shavuot chametz at 8:30 in the morning, he'd say, what are you guys doing? This is your sheet. No, I don't hold you have to burn it now. I hold you don't have to burn it till later in the afternoon by fire. Even I would burn my chametz throwing it in the ocean. Zok the Ramah. That's why it's only a minig l'sarfoi. Because even when we're burning the chametz the way we do it, we're not really getting Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to so many Rishayim Adaf Yudeis, Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't mandate you have to burn it. So that's taka why it's a minig l'sarfoi. It's not minig l'sarfoi because of the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. It's minig l'sarfoi because even in Rabbi Yehuda, the way we do it, we're not really being mekayim Rabbi Yehuda.
Just, why would we do that?
Because that does give in the minute. That was the minute.
What's Rabbi Yehuda's
svara? Ah, okay. That's what we need to talk a lot about. Just to wrap up, the Rashash. The Rashash says that when you burn Noiser, you have to do it like the Eitzim. There has to be wood. So I always say that's pshat. When you buy a chametz, pedigas chametz, they throw in the wooden spoon. What do you need the wooden spoon for? Because the choshesh is for the Rashash. The Rashash says if you learn from Noiser, it has to be like the Eitzim. They want to make sure you have wood in your fire. So they throw in the wooden stick. So you mekayim sreifas ayde ish. That's ayde eitzim. That's why the minhag is to throw the wooden spoon into the set. Okay.
This Tuesday night.